Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow, there we go. Shoulder Footy Cast back in Backchat Studios. The boys are back from Bali. Skeeter's off his vacation. He's back on the straight and narrow, and Scoey's back too. How are you, Skeeter?
Hello, Scoey. Yes, I thought I was in the mothballs for the end of the year. I thought you said, we're done, we're dusted. I thought, this is brilliant. I'll just chill and go about my normal life. But you've called us back for a very important day in the AFL football calendar. It is, of course, AFL Draft Day. But last night, I stayed up to midnight, watched Australia win the World Cup for a sixth time, beat India.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Watched till midnight, 130,000.
In the man cave.
They were quiet. They were very quiet. Went to Coldplay the night before. So I've been surrounded by events. And I believe you had a pretty big weekend as well.
Well, before we get to me, let's just stay on you for a little bit, Skeeter. I can hear you ignoring me. I know you can hear me through those mothball ears of yours. So you went to Coldplay.
Yes.
How was that?
I'm not a diehard fan, but I thought it was an outstanding show, yes.
So that was a midnight finish, was it?
Just took the bride there, and then just wandered across. Had the little wristbands that ignited, they sort of glowed in the dark.
How'd they do that?
I don't know. They've got, you're asking me that sort of shit. Anyway, it was good. It worked really well. I was going to take it out, but my wife said, they're biodegradable or something, because he's very environmentally friendly. So we just had to put those in a bin on the way out.
So you wouldn't have been happy with that. So that was a late finish. And then
late-ish,
and then last night, late again.
But not on the gas last night. No shelters, just watching the cricket and keeping an eye on things.
In the man cave?
A bit of both, but the man cave and my formal area, which is my sort of dining area where your kids were jumping from couch to couch.
So that's what I'm trying to just push you into. So last time we were here, Shelter Footy Cast, been doing this for 2 years now, never been round to your house. I never had the honour of being invited around, to be honest. But you had invited me, but I hadn't been there. A couple of weeks ago, we had a big event with Backchat, Fistball Invitational, going very well, the Western Fisters, by the way, Skeeter. now, we had... clearly, there was a very last resort. I rang Mark Redding. No, you're actually quite near the top of the table for looking after our children.
I volunteered.
Because I needed Alex down doing fist folds at the Invitational. And you did volunteer. You had my children. I was of the understanding that it was Victoria and Mark looking after Sid and Nash. Little did I know, and later found out, it was just Mark. So
my wife went shopping.
Mark Signor Reddings. Was one-on-one with a five-year-old and a two-year-old. How did you go? Quick summary of how you went.
Well, just bear in mind, I have had twins, and so that's 23 years ago, roughly. So you look at it and you go, this shouldn't be too hard. They were really, really good kids. We went down to the park, but, Sid's two, he's trying to jump off, the highest possible vantage point. I'm thinking, I don't need to lose a child that's not mine on my watch. And so essentially, to be brutally honest, I was sitting there, I'm trying to have a bet on a multi. I'm saying, can we go to the park? So just wait 5 minutes for this race. Anyway, so I keep feeding Sid these little lot, and he kept eating them. And I'm like, this is good. So he was happy, and now she's teaching him swear words. No, it's just a funky adventure. Just going. How do you know this word?
You were quite stressed when I got to you.
Oh, only because it.
You spilled a beer.
Spilled a beer, I was sober.
You want to be a cheeky dart fire around.
that's probably true. But what I will say is, when they're not your kids, you're a little bit more on edge. And so, anyway, all's well that ends well. And we got through that. And it was a good night. Yeah, they had a lot of sugar in their system by the time.
Yeah, they still haven't slept since I got back 2 weeks ago. Now, thank you for that, Skeet. So you've got some information on me.
That was pretty tame compared to. Can I ask you just an honest question? Just an honest question. Will you answer it if I ask you an honest question?
We will get to the draft preview.
Yeah, it's a pretty easy answer.
Yeah, you can ask me a question.
How many times have you vomited in the last, say, 2 months?
Oh, Quite a few, actually. It's becoming quite a habit.
What's wrong with you?
I'm not sure. What are you going with?
I just want to find out have you got a low tolerance to...
I was in Bali, yeah. There was some shocking food poisoning over there.
Yeah, but what about this weekend? Anything that might reflect your behavioural issues?
This is your story. This is
I'm asking you a question.
This is your story.
Well, I'm just told you might have had a Chris Mew on the weekend.
Chris Mew. What a Stewie Dew.
Chris Mew is what you used to call Spew, yeah.
Yeah, Stewie Dew rhymes with Spew too, mate.
I'll ask you a question. You've just got to answer it and then we move on.
Did I ask you on the weekend?
Yes,
I did.
Congratulations.
Well, Thank you very much, Steve.
Are you 35 or 15?
Well, I was doing shots of Whippersnapper at the bar I was at.
Oh, were you?
And I was feeling fine when I was there. And then I got here and it caught up with me a little bit.
Isn't it amazing how your stories about me come from one source and my stories about you come from the same source?
Hello, Liv, beautiful daughter of Mark Reddings, also babysitting our children. Thank you, Skeeter. Let's move on a little bit from our debaucherous behaviour.
Hold your roll and shut your mouth.
A big shout out to Bottle Mart, a big shout out to Thirsty Camel, all that sort of stuff. We're not going to do either of those, but hello, thank you, Shelter. If you want to get in touch with us, we're going to be here today, which is the draft preview, and we're going to be doing a draft review tomorrow, Skeeter, so I got you back-to-back days.
No, can't wait just for a little... And that'll be it for the year, won't it? We're not going to come back for the rookie draft or anything.
We'll see what happens. I'll tell you what, if West Coast draft Harley Reid, we may have to do a bit of a Harley Reid draft party at some stage, Skeeter.
I reckon Chris Martin... And Harley Reid, there's been more inches on the West Australian. No, seriously, I don't think I've ever... Go back to Jack Watts, who was the number one draft pick all those years ago. And I know we've a long way down the track, time-wise, and the media's changed, but it is quite extraordinary, the attention, particularly NWA, given... You know, if the Eagles finished fifth and the Dockers third, maybe it wouldn't be the same. But he's just... It's extraordinary. How he's going to cope with it, only someone like you might know.
Let's get into it, Skeet. Let's have a good look at what's going to happen in this draft. Let's start with Fremantle and West Coast. Freo to start with. They come into this draft with, you know, look, I would say an underwhelming draft hand, 34, 46, 60, 64, 85. There's been rumours of themselves trading them way back into it. They traded out of the second round this year into a first-round pick next year for Port Adelaide very early on in the trade period. So... They had a second-round pick they've got rid of, Luke Jackson. That's their first-round pick this year to Melbourne, which is pick six. So they part ways with that right now for Luke Jackson. They're not going to have any action tonight. They're still going to have to add to their list, though, and they can't just...
Can't be idle. You try and make something out of nothing. And look, if you go back 12 months, the Luke Jackson deal went through. I think you look back and go, well, I'm pretty comfortable if you're a Dockers fan as to what they've got now. Obviously, you have to give up something. They've done that. They knew what they were going to take their medicine this year.
Yes.
And Melbourne were the beneficiaries of that. So I'm not expecting the world from Fremantle. Is it Jeremy Sharp who's sort of
has
a delisted free agent? That's one change.
But this is why the pressure's on Fremantle, is because clearly the way they've built their list and the way they're operating in the draft period at the moment, so trade period and draft, is. They're confident with their list. They're not trying to add big bunches
of
guys. Well, I mean, 2 years ago they had Jai Amos, Neil Erasmus, Matthew Johnson at the draft. They get Luke Jackson in. Last year they didn't have any top range picks, but they added Hugh Davies, Tom Emmett, Max Noble, Corey Wagner, which we've seen a couple of those guys play at the level. A lot Tom Emmett.
We saw him late in the piece, didn't we? Yeah,
a lot Tom Emmett. But in saying that, they're going to go again this year with no real high end talent. That's a club that's happy with their list. If they're not happy, they're trying to desperately trade up into the first round, get some more high-end talent in.
When you say happy with the list, I think they know they've got deficiencies, but their hands are tied a bit in terms of drafting this year. And look, I don't know if the two are linked, but Joe Bridy going into the head of football and Peter Bell moving out of that. Now, I'm not sure there's any relevance to it. I can only look from the outside that there's been players leave the club. Has that got something to do with this? Are they happy with the retention rate? So when you say they're happy with their list, I think everyone knows they've got some deficiencies on their list, and a lot of it's their midfield, I believe. I wouldn't expect there to be too many headlines re Fremantle tonight, but they'll be trying to scheme and wheel and deal where possible.
Yeah, I think, look, if they don't operate tonight, we'll be seeing them in the back end of the draft.
And just quickly, so tonight, just, for what it's worth, first round. So we're looking with academy picks at around between 24 and 27 selections as it played out, you know.
Starts over at 4 p.m. tonight.
And finishes around 9 o'clock. No, it does take a fair while, though, doesn't it, Scully?
Yeah, correct. And look, for Freo fans, there won't be a whole lot of action, but I do think the thing to watch for Freo fans tonight is how many local guys go in this first crop of players. How many Western Australians are out the door? Because you mentioned it, the retention stuff. And look, that's not necessarily guys wanting to go home. There's been contract issues, all of that. You're certainly, to a point, safer drafting West Australians. And if they're getting guys in that back end of the draft and you are having a roll of the dice, you're probably more inclined to have a roll of the dice with a local kid, to be honest. So I think Fremantle, admin staff, the guys that are making those moves will be watching very carefully who comes off the table tonight. And I think as a Freo fan, you probably should be doing the same. I think you'll be having a look at outside run. I think that's a real need, especially with Liam Henry out the door. Look, there's some guys that can do it. Michael Frederick, Switkowski comes in and out. I think they'd be hoping Nathan O'Driscoll sort of steps back up to that first year we saw him. Of course, his brother, Aiden, is a chance to get drafted. I don't know if he'll slip enough to Fremantle's pick, but they've got two O'Driscolls already at the footy club, Nathan's sister.
And she was outstanding in AFLW. And just on Aiden, caught him in the Colts grand final and a bit this year, kicked two goals early for Perth against Claremont. Whether he's got the same skill level as Nathan, not sure, but I can guarantee you this, he's quicker. He's really? Very quick.
Really?
He's super quick. He did really well at the combine, so you're right. He's a possibility. And if you're looking at West Australians that, if not tonight, then certainly over the next 24, 48 hours, Lance Collard, really good season for Subiac.
Small
forward. Kicked five goals in two finals, so like 10 in two for Subiaco. Combine testing was good. I think he'd love to stay in WA, and of course he's an Eagles NGA product, so yes. There's that possibility. Colton Tolstrup, who played league footy for Subiaco, has played league this year, which is important, stepping up from Colts. He's had some really good moments with them going into the midfield. Big body. He'll go definitely.
Dan Curtin's
a given. We'll touch on how that might play for the Eagles.
There.
Absolutely. Just some other names just off the top of my head. Riley Hardiman, a talent. You mentioned O'Driscoll. There's probably three or four others that come into play, including Clay Hall.
Yes, Peel Boy.
Peel Boy goes okay. And there's some really nice raps about him as well.
Mitch Edwards from Peel.
Big Ruckman. Yep, absolutely. He's one that Adam Jones at the Footy Commission believes has got a lot of upside. So there's probably...
Guys like that are going.
Yes,
like, it just depends. Upside as a Ruckman, it just depends where... Depends how much upside a club thinks.
Yeah, totally. So there's... Look, just tonight, there's probably half a dozen players from WA in the mix. Whether they all go, whether some go, remains to be seen. But... just going back to draft night for you, was it with the butterflies on the morning, during the day, the whole day, for a week? How long was it set in for?
Well, there was no TV coverage back when I was listening to proper wireless. And you literally, look, they had little snippets. I think Shifter Sheehan was in there giving these little, you know.
Still?
Yeah.
He's had 107 drafts, hasn't he?
Because he gives the little, Will Schofield out of Newtown and Chilwell and John College.
Athletic,
And he's on the money, but we're copping that, right? But you hear the number read out, so you've got your number. So I knew my number and whatever that was. It's like a six-digit number. And every draft pick starts with the same three numbers. So it's like 1, 3, 1. 7, 4, 3, and so you hear the 1, 3, 1, and then you might 7, 4. It's like a Chook Lotto, and then it's 7, 7, 3. It's like, oh fuck me. So like I was pick 50. So look, I didn't have a guarantee of getting picked up. So it was a bit of a. I just had mum, dad, and my brothers around as well.
But it's funny because David Mundy, I spoke to him 2 weeks ago. He said he was actually asleep. This is going back to roughly that time. He said, one of my mates rang me and said you'd been drafted by Fremantle. And then, of course, his mum, she cried, and still crying actually because he moved over here and hasn't moved back. So, it's just fascinating. I like blokes who are in their 20s and even 25, 30. They're going, they must not, like, how did you operate a draft? It's a world away from the saturated coverage we're getting in 2023.
Just imagine what would have been happening when you were of draft age, Skeeter. They would have been sending out telegrams.
Well, draft would have been not quite Vietnam. I wasn't born then. We're talking about going to war or going to play the AFL.
Of course. Okay. Now, let's get into this one because We love sharing the love, but realistically, West Coast has been they've been the most talked about football club in the land coming into this draft because they have pick one. There's been multiple offers for that pick. West Coast have, to a point, I think are interested in looking at trading it, but haven't really budged on the offers that have come across. North Melbourne's been a key player. Melbourne have put an offer across. Hawthorn have been put an offer across. They're the three clubs that can still take it. And then you've linked that with Harley Reid, who, by all reports, reading around, I've seen multiple recruiters say he's been the best young talent they've ever seen. That's big raps, and West Coast are going to make this decision. Do they take pick one, take the best young talent that's ever come across the AFL recruiters' eyes, or do they split that pick into multiple first rounders, two, potentially three, given the list spot, the spot the list is in? Do they get a bunch of young talent, or do they get the big rooster over? How do you see this playing out? Because there's been a lot of speculation.
And I've got to be honest with you, you have chopped and changed a couple of times, which is fair enough.
But that's how I do things.
That's fine. And the last time we spoke on air radio, you suggested that they would trade out pick one to facilitate more options.
I started like that. So I started, they've got it. They've got to trade pick one to give themselves a bigger group of kids coming in because they have a significant list discrepancy.
When you say bigger group, you're going to get two.
No, it has to be three, mate. It has to be first rounders for pick one. Yeah, so you might have to include pick 23. So it might have to be pick one and pick 23, and you get a 2-3 future first, something like that, right? Maybe some other picks thrown in. But if you're trading pick one, you need to get three first rounders. So that's how I first started. Then I watched a bit of Vision, saw the hype of Harley Reid, thought, poor. Maybe you don't. Like maybe he's your guy. Maybe he's your 300-game, 10-time best and fairest winner.
Under 14s, 21 games.
Yeah, correct.
I think I read 120 goals. It's just under 14s.
Correct. So, I mean, this is the decision that West Coast Eagles will be going through as well. Like, is this guy good enough? And do we, you know, it's not risking at all, but do we not spread the risk? Do we just go, right, he's the best, let's take him and we'll build around him. That's the decisions they've got to make. Do you want to know where I am right now, Skate?
Love to know.
I think at 8:45 a.m. draft day, I think West Coast trade pick one. I think there's still yet to be the best offers put forward by North Melbourne.
It's a bit like, I think you're right, it's a bit like going to an auction of a house. You're going to save your, keep your powder dry until it's really required.
Why would you trade, if you're going to entertain trading pick one, why would you trade it 6 weeks ago when you hold the power?
Absolutely. You wait to the death, and if it doesn't come, I'm in the other camp. I think they're going to keep him. I think they're very open to try to somehow get Dan Curtin in that, trading their future first rounder and trying to manipulate to get, that would be for me their ideal situation. If they could get Curtin and Reid, and albeit you're talking about the other draft selections in the first round, that to me would be an absolute brilliant result for West Coast. Tough to engineer, but that I think would be the ideal scenario.
So yeah, I agree. And look, I'm not gonna put my house on the fact that they traded.
Nor am I, because it's
what I think I could put my house on, and I'm still not going to, but I reckon I'm more certain there's gonna be an offer come tonight that is better than West Coast have seen.
Of course.
Will West Coast make that deal? I think they're going to. I think the offer's gonna be good enough, and they're gonna try and spread the load, and they're going to use the commodity that is Harley Reid, which is the best young talent that's come out, to really upskill their list, really push it up. Is it a 2-3 plus future first? Is it 2-3 late first round of this year? Whatever it is, I think they get a big young bunch of kids into the footy club, and Harley Reid makes his way to whichever club makes the best offer. Now, the interesting thing with the Dan Curtin stuff, so this is the flip side. Okay, let's say West Coast best outcome out of this draft is to land Harley Reid and Dan Curtin.
That's massive tick.
If you're Alistair Clarkson and you own pick 2 and 3, he is, and I haven't heard this spoken about too much, but we know he's been cozying up.
Loves him.
To Kurtz, apparently, right? To Dan Curtin. He's been flying over. He's flown Dan Curtin over, and people are finding out about it is the other thing, right? Coaches can do this without anyone knowing, but everyone knows about this, right? And there's one person in particular that knows it's happening, and that's Alistair Clarkson. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's spreading the load, because if you're Alistair Clarkson and you are initiating this sort of stuff with Dan Curtin, who he knows West Coast want him, you'd be getting a little bit shifty as West Coast. You'd be going, oh, if we take Harley Reid and we don't trade pick one, we're not getting Dan Curtin because North Melbourne are taking him with pick three. 2 and 3 coming after, we're not getting Dan Curtin. So we're not going to get this thing that we want. I think that's what Alistair Clarkson's pushing that. He wants Harley Reid. He knows West Coast want Dan Curtin. He's putting some stuff in place to make West Coast go, well, maybe we may need to make this move with North Melbourne. Or at least Alistair Clarkson's trying to do that. What say you?
It's a poker face situation, isn't it, Scully? It feels, yeah, there's a bit of that. Gee, it's, there's a lot of talk about it. I think at the end of the day, the Eagles have got to go with what they trust. And if they think that Harley's the best option and try and build with another selection or selections or Curtin, then so be it. But, the only thing is you don't take Harley Reid and he comes out and absolutely tears the competition to shreds.
Yes.
And he was sitting at your doorstep. He was there. He was willing to come over, but apparently so that's the case.
Yes.
And you don't take him. I just think the egg on your face, the potential, that's all I'm saying. Sometimes you just got to look at what's obvious, what's the obvious move, and go from there. But I totally empathise with someone saying they've got to get not just one bloke, they've got to get 2, 3, 4 quality young players to just expedite this list rebuild.
It's going to be bloody interesting. Yeah. I'm for the first time in a fairly long while, I'm actually quite interested to see what happens.
Now, just explain to me, tonight, when it comes to pick number one, with any possible trade West Coast does, will we know that before, how long before?
I think they can trade it right up until their pick. So the clock will start.
And they've got that 2 minutes or 3 minutes.
Yeah, but they can trade it. I think it opens 2 or 1 hour before the draft tonight. Yep. And they've got opportunity to trade that before. But they can also live trade in the draft.
Okay.
So they could have pick 23 and their 2 minutes starts and a club could give them a call and say, hey, how about we give you our future first for 23? They can do that live draft.
Why would you as a club do that? Is that trying to put heat on the Eagles, for instance, in this situation? Is it trying to rattle them?
Or vice versa? West Coast going, we're going to take him. You've got 2 minutes left. You would put your best offer on and we're taking him. That's why it's interesting, I think.
So just going back to whoever's announcing from a West Coast perspective, pick one. West Coast goes, we've decided to trade pick one in exchange for XYZ.
That'll be interesting.
I can't now. Tell me if I'm wrong. I've got no history of this. Has that ever happened?
Not pick one. Pick one. But they've done it with, I remember a few years ago, Carlton traded into the, or back up to the first pick of the second day or whatever. I don't know.
Bottom line is, having listened to Rowan O'Brien, the beauty of the draft now is that in the old days, you'd have pick 1, 20, 34, and that was essentially, you did that, pick.
There's a lot more going on now. We've got academy.
A lot more flexibility.
So Gold Coast apparently are going to trade. They've got academy picks, at least 4 of them in the first round that they're going to be matching picks. So they've got a shitload of back-end picks to get value. That's something that hasn't happened forever. Daniel?
Yeah, any thoughts on
Dan Const, everybody?
Nick Natanui flying over to Melbourne to apparently present Reid with the number 9.
Well, so it's not present Reid. He's presenting number 9 to their first number 1 pick. Yeah. So the narrative that's been put out there is exactly what you just said, right? And I would say all the Nuffy West Coast fans like yourself are going, oh, he's going over to present Reid. No, he's giving it to their first pick. That could be pick 2, pick 3. The number 1 pick of West Coast will get the number 9. Is that pick 2? I think it's pick 2. I think West Coast trade it. I will say, Harley Reid and Ruben Jinbi, the boy, in the same midfield is proper, like, Dan Conn sweating in his seat, left to right cheek type areas. Like, he's getting a bit excited, I think. Like, Ruben Jinbi, Elijah Hewitt, who I hold very highly. The first couple of actions I saw him do on an AFL field, I was like, he's very good. So if he develops and comes back fit, which I've heard he has, Ruben Jinbi apparently is just in extraordinary shape. Looks like some big barrel-chested 35-year-old like veteran footballer running around out there. You put a Harley Reid with that. That in itself is, they can roll that out as their marketing package for the next 15 years, the footy club. So I think that'll be getting a few little things turning. Don Pike added as the CEO, I think, since we last sat down, yep. Skeeter. I wonder if he has any influence whatsoever. Probably not.
He has to have some imprimatur. I mean, let's be honest, as of January or whenever Niz officially steps down.
I think it's pre-Chrissy.
Pre-Chrissy, yeah. So I don't see why he wouldn't be involved in today in having his fingerprints on it, because, let's be honest, he's the man that's going to have to wear the brunt of any criticism in some respects and accept the praise. But you're right, there's a bit of excitement. You got Reed. I know Jimby, he's your golden boy. I'd just like to see him just on a footy. Next year, I want to see him. Maybe I'm being too harsh, but I want to see him get more of his own footy and be...
Yes.
Yeah, I think Reed needs to bring, for me, you talk about number one draft pick, Jimby's, you know, very solid citizen, but I'd like to see that silk, that real, which I don't think Jimby's got at that
well,
this
stage. Well, they played him as a tagger for a fair bit.
I just want to see him not laying 17 tackles. Well, I want to see him get his own footy and see what he's like in that respect.
Well, speaking of Ruben, like, I don't think he's ever been that player, and he's certainly trying to teach himself too. He's been an outside, been a half backer, he's been a footy coming at him sort of guy. So you can't just click your fingers and become that guy, but sometimes we see these really high talented work rate guys, which are, you know, Ruben Jimby seems every bit about it. If you can put them on some of the guns of the competition, they're that smart that they go, oh right, Scott Pendlebury, that was amazing how he did. Marcus Bontempelli, geez, you know, he had 35 touches. How did he do that? And like, that's the sort of guy that...
Quick learners.
You know, Marcus Bontempelli is probably a great example of what Ruben Jimby could be. Less of a Patrick Cripps type and more of a Bontempelli. Left foot, silk, some talent, but inside as well. He can win it like Bontempelli, incredible contested player.
I just want to see a little bit more of that silk. I'm sure he's got that in him. It just felt like he was... how do you say? He looked like one of those, you know, in a horse race, one of those ones that was sent out as the draft horse to do the hard work. And I think, well, if he's going to be a really long-term player and not banged up early, then I just want to see a bit more of the creative side of it.
I heard they had to stop him in the gym. He put on 6 kilos around when he's hammy, sort of have a little tweak, and that he goes that hard. That, like, Shannon Hearn had the same thing. Just, it's not a bad thing. It's looking at weights, and it goes that hard, and he's just putting on muscle mass. It's just an absolute unit. And they said, mate, just chill. Can you just chill out?
Speaking of muscle mass, so hang on. Who's just in brief? Who is the new nickname? The bloke that's in charge of the
weapon.
The weapon? No, not the weapon.
Killer.
Jeez, the killer. How's the killer going?
Well, West Coast, I think, have got the biggest sports. Fitness and conditioning and sports science group in the AFL. They've turned Warren Kofed's job into three, I believe, effectively. Weights focus, running focus, which is Matty Innes, who's come across them, the Bulldogs, very good reviews early on from inside the footy club there. And there's someone else that I've probably missed. There's three guys that have come in. So West Coast, you know, Trevor Nisbet came out and said it, and I think internally they needed to make some improvements there. And by all reports, they have, but it's going to be an interesting
year. The proof comes
for West Coast.
Yeah, they just have to,
because we can't really move past the worst side in the competition
by a margin. And let's be honest, they need. Put this way, first thing, they've got to have a decent preseason. Injuries or lack of them would help, and then obviously they need vast improvement in their ability factor against the best sides.
They currently have pick 1, pick 23, pick 37, pick 58, pick 81, which I don't think is a very good draft hand. That's what's leaning me towards them trading it. You think they're going to take Harley Reid?
Yeah, well,
going to have a little, couple of shelters on it, maybe.
Absolutely,
four pack of shelters.
Yeah, I'll put it this way: if you're right, I'll babysit the boys again.
Is that right?
If I'm wrong,
what happens?
I'll have to work that one out.
Okay. I'll just have a think about it. We've got about a little bit left of this podcast. You can figure it out, Skeeter. Mark Reddings, Will Schofield, Shell of Footycast. I thought we'd just have a little look around at things that have happened while we've been off chops, Skeeter, you and I. Not off chops, no, sorry. No, but yeah, you could say that way as well. Yeah. Are they calling it round zero? Is that what
the fixtures are out. Round zero.
It's just round one, isn't it?
The Northern
Why
States.
Why don't they just call it round one?
Because it's round one is the following week.
For 4 points, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Why don't you just call it round one?
But you know, here's a quirky fact. Do you know that come round one, which is after the Northern States have their little banquet the first weekend of the season, come the opening round. By the Friday of that opening round, before 10 teams have played, either Richmond or Carlton could be 0-2.
Yeah, they've got two games before anyone. Like West Coast, I don't think they play Sunday.
Play Sunday in Adelaide, of course, against Port Adelaide. So I know Dan did put out a tweet saying he can't see West Coast being beaten in the first,
24
rounds. Yeah. All right. I see. Thank you, Dan.
And I've looked at him going, geez, I can't see him winning one in the first 10. No, they've
the first six, they've got a pretty tough run in it, first six rounds at a minimum. Freo's fixture looked all right.
Yeah, look, they've got three Friday night games, which is a benefit. Bear in mind, the Eagles off Broadway given, and rightfully so, no Thursdays, no Fridays.
One MCG.
Yeah, so, but the Dockers have got three. The Magpies here in May, the Sir Doug Nicholls round as part of that. So three Friday night games. I don't mind people say their draw's tough. Getting Brisbane first up here, I think it's perfect for them. I think they'll be more advanced. I think that's a very winnable game early, given grand finals historically a little bit tardy to start. So North, I think, second.
They'll have the they'll have the target on Brisbane. It's like, well, these guys are a kick away from being the best in the comp last year. Let's beat them round one. That's a big focus for a footy club.
And just bear in mind what happened to Fremantle this year with regards to beaten by St Kilda, and St Kilda played finals, so credit to them.
But North Melbourne knocked them off.
North Melbourne beat them here. You're 0-2, and history says, and it's happened again, that you're always struggling if you get away to a slow start. So they've got to get off to a fly, or at least be with the rest of the competition early on, and I think they can do that. And the Eagles, what have they got? They've got the Giants, I think, round two here off the top of my head.
Yes.
And that sounds imposing, given they were so good this year, but they knocked them off. They knocked off the Giants. Can you believe the Eagles beat the Giants this year?
Yes, incredible. Mm. They beat two teams or three teams? I can't remember. They were bottom of the ladder. A couple of things with the fixture. It is... I forgot the first point. The second point.
It is your big weekend coming back to roost.
Far out. What was I going to say about it? Anyway, Mason Cox not happy that the defending premiers are not at the MCG Friday night against Brisbane, I assume, or Carlton, or not happy at all that they won the flag. They round one. They need to be at home and they need to be playing. He said that he's heading to the
showgrounds,
which is where they have livestock, and not happy.
I think he was also referring to the fact that while the NRL is opening their season
in Vegas,
to the bright lights of Vegas, and he's an American, of course, he's going to the livestock area of Western Sydney.
I enjoyed the back and forth from Dave Matthews, CEO of GWS, and Mason Cox. Yeah. Mason's come out, said what he thinks, and you can, I like having a dig at it and having fun with it, but I certainly respect just saying what you think. I like to think I do the same thing.
It's lighthearted. It's nothing personal. He's taking the piss.
But I also think you've got to respect and love the fact that the CEO of the club has come out and thrown some humour back at it. Like, I think that's humour as well. He said a bit of D-grade humour. It's his thing, Mason Cox, assuming he's going to be in the side. But that's good.
Yeah.
Like, I would hope Mason enjoys that too, because...
He would. Because you know what? And you're the same. If you've got... He wasn't being personal, but he was having a little dig back. Nah, no issue at all. I reckon we need more of it. And Mason Cox, you know what? You've got a premiership next to your name. You can strut around for a while like you did.
Just on... Present tense. The other thing I was going to say on the opening round, I think it's called... It's not round zero. It's opening round.
Yeah.
Which is... That's dumb. But what you need to appreciate and understand about the AFL is it's, and I'll say this multiple times, it's not a game for the fans. The AFL, although they love your money and they love you buying memberships and they love you coming to games and they love you watching, it's not about the fans. They are trying to get market share against other sports and they are trying to own the landscape as much as they can. So putting an extra round into the fixture is about owning more of the media, sports media landscape. And that gives them more eyes for the broadcast deal. It gives them, a leg up on the NRL if they're trying to compete in those areas in the north. I've heard lots of outcry from fans saying, no one asked for this. The AFL doesn't care, really, what you think. They're trying to leverage their position in the sporting landscape in Australia. It's about money for them. They're trying to make more money. From that sense, I really like the opening round. I think they've extended the year by a week, effectively, added in an extra week, while creating buzz and talk in the media, people like you and me talking about it. And then when it happens, there's going to be like, that's all they want. They want more leverage in that space. So sometimes you got to shift your vision from, okay, well, no one asked for this opening round, it's bullshit, there's buyers. By the end of round two, the two teams could be 0-2 before anyone even plays. The AFL doesn't really care about that.
No, and that's totally. And I think they're jumping its shadows a bit with the NRL stuff, with the Vegas thing. But you're right, there is market share, and they want to try and create something a bit different. I don't mind it. The Gather Round, which I've got to be honest, 5 years ago, I saw the Magic Round in the NRL. I said, why can't we do that in Perth? It may happen down the track, but it's gone to South Australia instead. And what we've got now is, you know, there's definitely some antagonism between the NRL and the AFL. And the bottom line is, the NRL, despite my initial thoughts, they actually, rugby league attracts a bigger TV audience in the course of a year than the AFL. Now I went, wow, how's that?
Attracts what?
A bigger TV audience and over the course of the year,
right?
Which staggered me because I'd look at figures for Friday Night Football,
yes,
and AFL completely out yes, points NRL. Here's where they get us. They get us during State of Origin.
Yes.
They get us when there's three matches with 2 million people watching each right, of those matches. So therefore, that, yeah, I know it's those figures are put into the mix. They get the numbers that they want. But yeah, you're right. The AFL are, you know, it's the fans will keep. We'll watch footy in yeah, February.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure how many practice games there are, Scully, this year or preseason.
Probably not a lot.
Maybe one. That's what I think. That's great.
Thursday night football every week for the 14, first 14 rounds
up from 11. Terrific.
Yeah. We love Thursday night footy.
Yeah, right. I think everyone does. I think Thursday night is terrific. 11 this year, 14 next year. In terms of WA, we get a little shift. Friday night footy starts now at
10 minutes earlier.
5:40, is that right?
10 minutes early, Scott.
Yeah, and then 5:20, is it on Thursday? Anyway, it shifted a bit earlier. Obviously,
you happy with the 10-minute?
If I'm, you know, out and about, it means you got to get home a little bit earlier. Or
you knock a beer off in 10 minutes?
Yeah, I think I could. Yeah.
I want to finish on this one, Scott. That's enough yes, about the fixture. Josh Dacos, flat about seeing the difference and disparity between EPL and AFL players and the treatment they get in between the two leagues. Josh, I mean, this, look,
I like
credit,
it.
The credit, well, I like it too because I don't see Nick's name in this fucking article. It's not Josh and Nick. It's just Josh. For context, he said this at the races in a, it would have been a cashy in some room.
Derby Day or something, was it?
Yeah, it was. And so there's media in there. He would have been on the beers, guaranteed.
Yeah, fair enough.
He should have won a flag. He's in a room full of punters. He's trying to get a bit of, like, yeah, you get in those situations as a player and you're like, I don't want to just give nothing.
Exactly.
I want to say something that's interesting.
Well, exactly, because we did a Sportsman's Day together about 2 months ago and you did exactly that. Because I always thought, most people thought, Dan, that Dom Sheed had won the grand final with his kick from the pocket. No. Scully turned the story into how he won the flag for the Eagles. It's brilliant. It's great.
Yeah. Bought the house down. But it's bullshit. But it's funny. So I don't know where Josh sort of sits on the context. I'm not having a go at Josh Dacos, but it's hilarious. Like, yes, of course there's a fucking disparity between, mate. These clubs are privately owned by sheiks in the Middle East, mate. Sheiks?
I'd say
Sikh. You'd say Sikh, would you? Is that right? Isn't that Star Wars, mate? I think it shakes. Royalty in the Middle East. Like, there is big, big oil money. There is huge amounts of coin rolling around over here. Yes, there's a disparity. Yes, they put the heaters on in the grass because it's snowing, Josh.
It's cold.
Because they've got a load of money.
Yeah.
So, you asked the question whether the highest paid player in the AFL should be making more than the highest paid administrator.
Well, the CEO of the AFL has been getting more than the highest paid player, which to me doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I just think that the CEO is a very important role, don't get me wrong, but the players and the best of them deserve the compensation.
What's that going to do? Okay, let's just say Andrew Dillon gets paid $2 million. I've no idea and I don't really care. But let's strip him back to $1 million, right? What are you going to do with the other million? Like, what are you going to do with $1 million you just save with him?
The query is, are players, given their shelf life is pretty short, are they getting enough? The best players getting enough. I don't know. There's an argument both ways.
Yeah, I would just purely be looking at the percentage split, split of total revenue, not total turnover, total revenue into the business. How are they splitting that? Is that disparity big enough, small enough? I don't think it matters if Andrew Dillon gets paid $1, $2, or $10 million, you're not going to be able to do much with the money you save off that in the first place.
No, I think it's just the optics of it anyway.
I think that's us done and dusted.
Can I just ask one final question? Yes. You know, I've sort of, you've been on holidays, but is there a new piece of, it's like jewellery on your right wrist. Now, can
I... backfire for you, but yeah.
No, I'm just asking. I just noticed it this morning, and it's got love on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No,
It says, love you, Dad. It's from my five-year-old, mate.
Love it. Yeah, are you wearing that full-time now?
Yes, I am. So you don't love it. Don't say you love it.
I thought those little lollies that I gave Sid the other week, but no, that's a real bead.
I'll get you one, Skate.
I'll wear it.
Okay, Skater. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Draft preview. Harley Reid. Harley Reid party.
Pick one. Take it.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.